Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Coming up in local news this morning, I'll be checking in with Interim Superintendent of Park City Schools, David Gomez. He'll be previewing tomorrow's school board meeting. Douglas Jefferson with Park City Karate has details about the Intermountain Karate Championships that are being hosted this weekend. Tom Kelly, Vice President of Communications with U.S. Ski and Snowboard, has details about the 2019 World Championships taking place in Deer Valley, Park City, and Solitude next year. Joining him will be Olympian and reigning slopestyle skiing world champion McCray Williams. And finally, we'll be talking with Summit County's longest working employee, Ben Blonquist, who is retiring after working for Summit County for more than 40 years. Stay tuned. It's 8:16. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the Park City Board of Education meeting tomorrow in a special regular session starting at 9 o'clock in the morning at the school district office on Kearns Boulevard. On the phone with me with a rundown, I have Interim Superintendent of Park City Schools, Dave Gomez. Good morning.
Good morning.
So graduation was Friday night. How did that go?
It was fantastic. Just a really good culmination of what we're trying to do with kids. Really great for me to see as well, because I don't often get to see the fruits of our efforts in the elementary school. And then just a wonderful night, great speeches. It was just a really good culminating event.
Sort of an odd schedule. Usually school gets out for the year and then we have graduation. This came first. So when is the last day of school?
Last day of school, I'm glad you asked that, because I was going to remind everybody that it is Wednesday. Last day of school is Wednesday. And so that's the reason for doing it on the Friday ahead of time.
Right. But seniors are basically out. Did they get their all of their 180 days in?
Well, they're still able to go to school. And, yes, we have fit that into our schedule. We're actually over the amount of time that we need to by state law. And so we're covered in that regard.
All right. Well, the Park City Board of Education has named Jill Gilday as the new superintendent. She says she plans to start August 1st. At that point, then you return to your role as principal at Parley's Park?
Yes, I will. Yep. And excited about that.
Okay.
And very excited about Dr. Gilday. I spent the day with her on Tuesday, walking her around, meeting administrators, and just a brief tour of our buildings, and her experience and just her wisdom is really going to be a great asset to our district. I was very pleased that the community team as well as the board chose her, and I'm just excited to help her in the transition.
Yeah. What kind of overlap, if any, will there be between you, Amber Conley, and Dr. Gilday?
There'll be a little bit of overlap, but Dr. Gilday is going to be here off and on in June and July, and then I can help her with the transition, and Dr. Conley will be helping as well with that on occasion. And so there'll be a little bit of overlap, but, you know, once she hits August 1st, we'll be up and running and ready to get ready for a new school year.
All right. And then what happens to the others who were shuffled around with your assignment as interim superintendent?
Yeah. So they'll go back to their existing positions, many of them, and some of them will be possibly looking at other positions. As you know, we've got, the assistant principals that we added, as well as some interventionists. And so they may go into those roles or may just stay into their roles that they were in this past year.
All right. Safety once again on the agenda. Last time we talked, you really weren't up to speed on this. Can you tell us now where we're at on making those safety improvements to our schools?
Yeah. As soon as school is out, we will start working. It's going to be a very busy summer. Fences will be going in as soon as school is out. The vestibules will be kicked into high gear for a anticipated end date before school starts. And so it's going to be a very busy year in our schools over the summer, and that work gets started as soon as kids are out. So next week and then into the summer months.
So we're doing fencing at just three elementaries. Jeremy Ranch is already okay?
Yeah, so three of the elementary schools I've met, and Andrew Kaplan has met with folks, and we've come to as close as we can to making arrangements to be good neighbors and work within what you know, houses and neighbors around the school ask for. We couldn't come to all agreement, but we came as close as possible. And so, yeah, I'm still working with one elementary school to get that ready to go and just to try and get as close as possible to, you know, meeting our needs first, safety of kids, and then trying to work with the neighbors around the school as well. And so, but yeah, that's those materials have been ordered and they're coming and they'll be starting to put those in as soon as school is out.
And the school board has once again heard from parent Nicholas Miller, who is opposed, I believe, to the fencing project at Parley's, perhaps at all of the schools. He claims that no analysis with verifiable data to show that fencing makes kids safer. I mean, how does the district respond to that?
Well, it does make it safer, and we know that. We've had analysis from Homeland Security. We've had analysis from police departments and other folks that are out there. It does make it more secure. It keeps kids where they need to be. You know, it also keeps animals out of our area. I mean, it's not going to be your last measure for everything, no, but we have received guidance, and that's the guidance that we're going on.
He's asked the school board to provide the intelligence to go with all of this school fencing, asking specifically how many times have we had elk or moose enter school property with any problems with that, or any incidents of children leaving school grounds wandering about. Do we have those facts and figures?
Yeah, we have those facts and figures. I can tell you just from Parley's Park alone, we had an incident this year where a student left our grounds, and had we had a fence there, the student would not have been able to leave our grounds. So we have data. I mean, but, you know, this is the first building I've ever been at in my 25 years of experience in school that does not have fencing around a school. So there are, it's not uncommon. It's just, I think you get down to the point of, you know, we're trying to work with the neighbors, trying to do the best possible. And it's something new as well, but boundaries are always a good thing for kids.
Yeah. Also concern about how kids will evacuate in the event that there is some kind of emergency that they need to get out of the school grounds. Can you address that?
Sure. So we've thought about that, and we're going to put gates in at strategic spots in the fencing that will be locked during the day. And those will be able to help allow kids to get out. I mean, if there's an evacuation and we're looking into those being locked, not locked. I mean, that's something that will continue, but those gates will be in for access. Like I said before, it's not going to be I think it's not something that people are going to, you know, if you want access, you'll get access, right? Mm-hmm. But we are going to be putting in those gates in strategic places throughout the fencing.
All right. Are there other complaints from the community, or is Mr. Miller just a single vocal opponent to this?
Well, there are other complaints, and we've worked with those folks, and we've had several meetings. We've walked the grounds. We've tried to accommodate in places where neighbors' fences are butted up against our property, and so we've made several accommodations. I feel, like I said before, we're not going to be 100% accommodating to everybody out there, but we did try our best, and I take my hat off to President Kaplan for meeting with folks and us as well to try to get as close as we can to accommodating people.
All right. And then again, those entryways are also going to, the vestibules there will also be finished before school starts?
Yes, they will. Yep.
All right. There's been...
So it's going to be very busy.
A lot of discussion about constant police presence in town, and we've got a drive-by program that the Sheriff's Department has been put in place. How is that working?
Yeah, well, I feel like it's working really well. I mean, their presence and then just coming into the building, talking to people, making sure things are okay. I mean, just that presence of that car out in front, or that officer just checking the perimeter, really does deter and helps to remind people that there is a presence in our buildings for law enforcement. And so I think it's been helping out really well and is a good partnership.
And that's not something that's coming out of the school's budget, is it? I mean, it's just something that comes out of the city and county budgets?
Yeah, city and county, and they met with the superintendent, with Dr. Conley as well, and just said, hey, we'd like to help out more. And so they put in a plan and a program with their officers to, whenever they're in the area, just to stop in and just make that presence be known. And it's been working very well, and I've checked in with schools, and we've noticed a huge rise in just police involvement and presence at our building.
Also, a continuing discussion on the budget for next school year. In terms of that, is there more money in this upcoming year for additional security projects?
You know, that, and I'm not aware of that, that is something that we're also going to need to talk about with Dr. Gilday as she comes on board, to kind of see, you know, where we need to go, what's the next steps after we've, you know, put in the vestibules and then we've also acquired the system to check in when you come in, that we'll be testing over the summer, make sure we have all the bugs out so that when school starts, we're ready to roll that out as well. But there's going to be other discussions as to, okay, what's next? What other kinds of measures can we put in place?
All right. And in terms of the decisions that have been made by the board, we have decided to add more vice principals and interventionists?
Yes, that was at 2 weeks ago, I believe.
Okay. The budget's still not finalized, though?
Still not finalized, but tomorrow will be the last time for the board to finalize the budget. And so that will be finalized, and then it will be out for the public to look at and to comment on. I believe on the 19th is the next June 19th is the next board meeting.
All right. You also have some contracts out there for approval in tomorrow's consent agenda. We're talking about turf, fiber, asphalt, and roofing. Where are these going?
Yep. So replacement of turf on Dozier Field, and then the new roof for Park City High, and then asphalt is something we do every year throughout the district, and then of course the other piece is cable and fibers that need to be constantly pulled as well in our buildings.
All right, and then the board will spend some time training with Marianne Billington. She's with the Action Leadership Group. Are you part of that, or is this just for the school board members?
No, I'll be part of that as well, but primarily it's for the school board members to conduct leadership training. The training helps the board become more cohesive as a group. And so that's really what the purpose of the training's for.
Yeah, I mean, are they following some kind of leadership program?
Yes, it is a program that they offer to boards of education.
Yeah, I mean, can you give us what are the top three things that leaders do or don't do?
Yeah, you know, I have not been part of these trainings and have not seen their agenda, but so I can't comment on that. I apologize. But, I'm assuming it's how do you work together as a group? How do you come to a consensus? How do you, what kinds of things do board members become a part of in a school system? So all of those kinds of things, I'm assuming and hoping are going to be part of the training.
Yeah. Any idea what it's costing us to train? I mean, when you think about, they're community leaders being school board members, you'd think that there would be some training leadership. I mean, they would have some of that knowledge. So what's it costing us?
Yeah, I don't know the exact amount, but I can find that out and report on that as well.
Okay. Anything else, Dave, you wanted to mention?
No, just thank you to all the teachers and parents and staff. It's been a great year, and we appreciate all the help they've given the schools, and look forward to the next following school year.
All right. Hey, Dave, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Dave Gomez is Park City Schools, interim superintendent through the end of July. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. KPCW News Time now, 8:31. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, Park City Karate is hosting the 10th annual Intermountain Karate Championship this weekend at Ecker Hill Middle School. On the phone with details, I have Doug Jefferson. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
So tell me a little bit about Park City Karate. You guys have been around for a while, and you're what, sort of the executive director of the organization?
Yes. We've been around about 12 years. We started out over at Park City Dance with Sandy Fleury and her partner, and then we expanded about 10 years ago to our own site, and we've been in the Kimball Junction area now for like 10 years, just like we were saying. And it's a small school compared to some of the large national ones, but we like being in Park City because of the Olympic connections. It's a beautiful place, and it's a lot of great people participating in the program.
Yeah. So, I mean, the term karate, it's a broad term, I'm thinking, for what, a number of different practices? Or?
Well, karate probably should be more specifically addressed to Japanese. Taekwondo is Korean. Kung Fu or Wushu would be Chinese, and then the Okinawans have their own. But a lot of people will say karate, meaning nearly any martial arts, but it is Japanese karate.
Okay. So how many kids do you have involved here in the Summit County area?
We have about 100 kids that are anywhere from preschool to high school age.
Wow. And in your press release, you note that you think karate is the ultimate fitness program for youth and adults. Why is that?
Well, we like to say it's fitness with a purpose because as you're doing it, it takes a long time to learn a combat sport, and it teaches a lot of discipline and stick-to-itiveness, the things whether you want to be successful in other sports or academics. I'll go into success in the martial arts, time management, being able to, set goals and work forward. So we think martial arts is great for young people. Plus, it's one of the few sports that's bilateral, meaning you use left and right feet, left and right hands equally. There's a number of wonderful people in Park City, great athletes, and they put their kids in the program because they like it as a beginning developmental tool.
And as I mentioned, we are at Park City Karate hosting the 10th annual Intermountain Karate Championships. So tell us about that. When and where?
Well, the Intermountain Championship is this coming Saturday, Friday night at Ecker Hill. We have a seminar by the USA team captain, Tom Scott, who has been ranked consistently in the top 10 in the world for 4 or 5 years. And he's great with young people. He's teaching a seminar from 5 p.m. to 7 over at Ecker Hills. And then the following day, we have our 10th annual tournament that you mentioned. And we do this so that local people, Utah people, will qualify regionally to go to the USA National. This year, they happen to be in Reno, Nevada.
All right. And how many kids will you have, or I should say people, because there's some adults there as well, competing on Saturday?
About 150. It all depends on travel and time, but about 150 competitors. And they start out with the youngest ones, which are 6 years old, and I think our oldest competitor is about 60.
Oh, wow. Okay. And again, if they win this competition, then they would go on to nationals?
If they place in the top four, then they can participate in USA Nationals.
Okay. And then in terms of the regional competition, we're talking about just Utah, or do we have other folks coming from other states?
A large group coming from Arizona, Montana, Nevada, Colorado. I haven't noticed anyone from New Mexico, but it really is the Intermountain Championship because Idaho, Montana, Wyoming. I forgot them. Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, and Arizona all have some competitors here.
All right. And then in terms of the seminar that you're offering, I mean, who would be interested in something like that?
Anyone who's generally interested in athletics and then, of course, how competition is conducted and how you would train for it if you wanted to compete in USA Karate.
Okay. And that the cost of that is $40. You just pay for that at the door?
Yes.
Don't need to pre-register or anything. All right. And then let's see, you've got opening ceremony 9 a.m. on Saturday, and you expect that to go most of the day, huh?
Yeah. Well, we'll be done by about 3 p.m.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, but if you're ever interested in karate, this might be a way to see a little bit of everything, because they do the kumite, which people would call fighting, the kata, which is the prearranged forms. You could, you know, get a quick glimpse at it and say, you know, this might be for me or my kids.
Okay. People can get more information online, and what's that address?
It's ParkCityKarate.com. That's pretty easy to remember. ParkCityKarate.com.
Okay. Hey, Doug, thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, thank you for calling.
KPCW News Time now, 8:37. KPCW News Time now, 8:38. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. And in some breaking news from freeskier.com, Vail Resorts will apparently acquire Crested Butte Mountain Resort in Colorado, Stevens Pass in Washington, Okemo Mountain in Vermont, and Mount Sunapee in New Hampshire. This is happening via two separate transactions. Again, according to a report on freeskier.com, Vail Resorts has reached an agreement to purchase Triple Peaks, owned by the Mueller family. They are the owners and operators of Crested Butte, Okemo, and Sunapee for $82 million. In addition, Vail Resorts will pay the $155 million lease owned by Triple Peaks to Ski Resorts Holdings at closing. Then, in a separate deal, Vail Resorts purchasing Washington Stephen Pass from Ski Resorts Holding for a total of $67 million. The deal gives Vail a variety of new terrain options to offer its guests, from the steep skiing, of course, found at Crested Butte and Stevens Pass, to the groomers and train parks of Okemo and Sunapee. In a prepared statement from Rob Katz, chairman and CEO of Vail Resorts, he says, together, the acquisitions of the resorts will significantly enhance the Vail Resorts network of resort experiences, adding even more variety and choice for all of the pass holders and guests. He says Okemo and Mount Sunapee, terrific complements to Stowe in the Northeast, as is Crested Butte to the four Colorado resorts, and Stevens Pass for the Whistler Blackcomb and Seattle guests. When each deal closes, both the 2018-19 Epic and Epic Local Passes will offer unlimited days at all four of these new resorts. KPCW News Time now, 8:40. KPCW News Time now, 8:40. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, Tom Kelly is retiring from U.S. skiing and snowboarding effective June 15th, but he's already been assigned a new role as chief of press for next year's World Freestyle Championships. He joins me in the studio along with Park City native McCray Williams, the reigning world champion in slopestyle skiing. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Leslie.
So you haven't even retired and you got a new job, Tom.
No, I know. It's really amazing, isn't it? You know, the work just keeps flowing in. But that's going to be a lot of fun. This is an event I was very much involved with when we got the bid 4 years ago from the FIS. And just really excited to be able to continue and move forward with this as chief of press. So,
So are you hired then by U.S. Skiing and Snowboarding? Is that who you will be working for? Or
I am contracted by U.S. Ski and Snowboard, and I will effectively be working for the organizing committee. So I'll be representing the organizing committee as the chief of press, and we'll have probably over 200 media from around the world at this event, and excited about that responsibility. And, you know, as I said a few weeks ago when I was in here, even though I'm leaving my role in 2 weeks from U.S. Ski and Snowboard, I want to stay involved with the organization in some way, that and with other clients I have.
Yeah, and this is something you have done for other events, World Cups and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I have a lot of experience with. And, you know, here I'm particularly interested in this because there is a little bit of a challenge here because we have three different resorts. We have seven different venues within those resorts, 15 different events. So we will have events February 1st to 10th. The World Free Ski, Snowboard, and Freestyle Championships will be coming here to Utah February 1st to 10th, 2019. We will have events at Park City Mountain, including both the primary base area and also over at Canyons Village. We will have venues over at Deer Valley with Moguls and Aerials, and we'll be down at Solitude with Ski Cross and Snowboard Cross. So we have a pretty big footprint across the state of Utah, working very closely with Utah Sports Commission, Park City Chamber Bureau, and all of those resorts.
Yeah, and we kind of had a test competition at Solitude this past winter.
Yeah, we had one a year ago, and that went really, really well. It's been interesting because during the 4 years that we've had this bid, the ownership has changed at every one of the resorts. So it's been an interesting dynamic. And McRae will talk about the new slope course over at Park City Mountain. But it's been really cool over the last 4 years, even though we've had those ownership changes. Each of the new owners has maintained a high level of enthusiasm for this. This event will attract over 700 athletes from 36 nations. For sure, it'll be the biggest event here in Utah since the 2002 Olympics.
All right. So you were just in Greece for the FIS meetings. Tell us what happened there. They just confirmed everything?
Yeah, we had a number of different schedule proposals. The sport has also changed a lot over the last couple of years. We have two completely new events this year. Free Ski Big Air will be actually the opening event at Canyons Village on Saturday, February 2nd, under the lights, fireworks, concert, etc. So we've had a few changes in events, and we were also just looking at how you do the venue complement for these, and we made a few changes at Park City Mountain, for example. The slope course, which had been on King's Crown, has now been moved over to Pick and Shovel, and we did a test of that this year with a Continental Cup level event. We also are going over to Canyons Village with the Big Air events, and then Solitude was a new event coming, a new venue for us coming on with the ski cross and snowboard cross. Very successful event, as you said, a year and a half ago.
And then, McRae, you're sitting here with your arm in a sling. What's going on with you?
part of the game. Have a bad shoulder, have for years, and just got a little bit out of control this last year. Finally decided to get her fixed up. It's summertime, time off, so no better time to do it. And, I'll be back in tip-top shape for next season, so. Should be good.
Okay, is that just a result of falling on it?
Yeah, one particular crash back in 2012 that popped it out for the first time. Obviously, did the majority of the damage there, and then just over the years, I've tried to keep it under control with physical therapy and working out, and, you know, keeping it strong. But it's just, you know, can't avoid those certain tumbles and crashes that'll pop it out, and just wear and tear, and it's just gotten so loose that it actually a crazy story, but it. It popped out in the middle of my my Olympic run in Korea this past year, so that was kind of an eye opener. And at that point, I realized can't have that happening. So I decided to get her fixed up, and we're smooth sailing now.
Yeah. So what have you got? I mean, they've just tightened ligaments, or did they replace the shoulder?
It's interesting, actually. I got what's called a ladder jet is the name of the surgery, and it's usually a secondary surgery, but it's. Becoming more, accepted as a primary surgery for shoulder repairs. But what they do is they cut off some bone and screw it to the front of your shoulder, essentially blocking it in. So it's actually an ideal shoulder. You know, it's kind of the future. Maybe I'll get the other one done as well. So I'm just bomb-proof. But and then they just fixed up the ligaments a little bit. But it's actually fairly quick recovery, and should be good. So.
All right. Well, so you got a lot of PT ahead of you, though, once you're out of the sling.
Yeah, I'm just 2 weeks out now, so it's been pretty chill the past couple of weeks, just letting things tighten back up. But we'll get the sling off and start doing some more physical stuff here pretty soon. And, September, October, I'll be back to normal, back to full activities, and getting in shape for the season.
All right. So as I mentioned, the 2017 World reigning world champion from slopestyle skiing, winning that in Sierra Nevada.
Nevada, Spain.
So you'll be defending your title then.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to have the opportunity to defend that title on my home turf, home court advantage. And to bring an event of this caliber to Park City is a big deal for us Parkites, Park Cityites. I got all my family around here, friends, fans, so we'll have a good turnout, a lot of people showing up, and it should be fun.
Great. And in terms of that, when we talked about the new venue, so it used to be kind of off on the other side of Payday, King's Crown.
King's Crown, yep.
And so that's going back to skiing. We're moving it all to the Three Kings chairlift off of Pick and Shovel then,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. So when Vail came in and took over... So Park City used to have actually three different terrain parks. They had the one Pick and Shovel down in the corner where the half pipe is. That's been there forever. And then they had the bigger park on King's Crown, which you just mentioned, where they had actually when we had the world champs last in 2011, that's where the venue was. And it's a little bit, it allows, it's a little bit longer, steeper, allows for, you know, a bigger caliber course. So we were a little skeptical with the new venue over there on the pick and shovel side. It's a little flatter over there, but they've done a little dirt work. They've raised the drop in and like Tom was saying, they did a little bit of a test event this year with the Continental Cup. And, I just went over and checked that out myself and, it actually looked pretty good. Jumps were a decent size and the course looked nice. So I think it's actually going to be a pretty good, course after all.
Yeah, and then slope style, it's got, they measure a lot of things. I mean, big air is just kind of part of it with the jumps towards the end, but there's a lot of apparatus that they want you to get on.
Rails, and, you know, that's what's so cool about our sport is it's just, you know, it's different every time. The courses can be very progressive and innovative, so you never really know what they're going to put together. But, the idea is, you know, a series of rails leading into a series of jumps. but yeah, it's a pretty good spot and Park City, you know, they're amazing. They've been building, amazing world-class parks for years. So, I expect them to do a very good job with it.
Yeah. So the comfort level comes just from knowing the terrain and the,
say it again, sorry.
The comfort level for you. I mean, having this kind of hometown advantage. I mean, is it just because you know the area?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of, you know, you can sleeping relate it to team sports a little bit, watching the playoffs and everything. You got that home court advantage, you know. It's just a little bit of extra energy. I don't know what it is that kind of gives you that little push. But, just being where you grew up and where you, you know, like you said, you're comfortable and you know, sleeping in your own bed is obviously a big advantage. But, it's cool to have it here in the hometown and represent.
Okay, and real quick, Tom, in terms of, I mean, the events will be free to attend.
Yeah, events will be free, and I'd like to recommend everybody come on out on Saturday night, February 2nd, to Canyons Village to kick it all off with the Free Ski Big Air. It's going to wrap up then the following weekend with a Main Street concert on Sunday, February 10th. The way the events are working out, we're going to start over in Solitude on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, with a ski and the snowboard cross. We'll kick in that evening opening ceremony Saturday night, and then Monday during the day, we'll start out at Park City Mountain. We'll have events at Park City Mountain during the daytime and at Deer Valley in the evening. Should be a great week. Lots of opportunities for spectators to come out and see the best athletes in the world.
Great. And then we've got a closing night concert there on Main Street?
Yeah, we'll have a closing concert, the typical Lower Main Street party. It's kind of a hallmark of the events that we've been doing here in town for quite a few years. So we're very excited about it. I remember the enthusiasm we had getting the bid in Barcelona at the FIST Congress 4 years ago, and that has really carried forward, and we're really appreciative of our resort partners at Solitude, Deer Valley, and Park City Mountain, along with Park City Chamber Bureau and Utah Sports Commission. Biggest event coming to Utah since the Olympics in 2002. I know McRae was one of the athletes in town who got fired up and watching those games, and here we are 16 years later, and we're still doing it.
Great. Well, good luck to you, McRae. Thanks for coming in, Tom. Always good to see you.
Thanks, Leslie.
Yeah, thank you.
KPCW News Time now, 8:50. KPCW News Time now, 8:52. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, Summit County native Ben Blomquist is retiring, and while that is something that happens all the time, Ben holds the record as the longest working employee the county has ever had. He joins me now on the phone. Good morning and congratulations, Ben.
Thank you very much.
So you were born and raised in Colville. You started working for Summit County January 1st of 1978, just a few years after graduating high school, huh?
Yep, that was correct.
Yeah, so what was your first job with the county?
I was working with Public Works Department, the road department, plowing snow, fixing roads, stuff like that.
Yeah, and you retired doing what, also in Public Works?
No, I retired. I was with Public Works for 20 years, and then I transferred to facilities, doing lawn care, the rodeos, the fair, all that stuff, and I was there 20 and a half years.
Yeah. Summit County, a good employer, providing a pretty good living for you and your family, huh?
Yep. I raised two kids and got four great-grandkids, and it's been a good ride.
Yeah. I mean, I guess then just like I say, I mean, you're right there in, you know, your hometown. It was a great job to have, I'm guessing, huh?
Yep. I'm like two blocks away from where I work, so if they had trouble or anything, I could just be there in a flash.
Yeah. So over the last 40 years, I mean, can you talk about how the county has changed? I mean, you probably remember when you could fit all of the snow plows in one place.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had three sheds at the time, South Summit, North Summit, and Park City. And we just, they actually combined them 20 years ago. And that's when I changed the facility. So everything's in one shift now, which made it so much better. But, yeah, it's changed a lot. I mean, we gone from real old pieces of equipment to high-tech stuff now. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yep, and then just in terms of the number of staff as well, huh?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had three guys at each shed. Now the public works, I think, is running up there around 18 or 20.
And you have also seen the change in the form of government where we, you know, had three county commissioners, now a county manager and council. Have you noticed anything, any changes with that? One working better than another?
No, I think they get the job done better, and I really like the managers. They can work things out before it has to go to the council and stuff, and I think that works okay.
All right. So as I mentioned, you've been employed for 40 and a half years. Anybody even close to you?
I think maybe 35, last I checked. I really wasn't checking that much, but yeah, I guess it's a long time.
Yeah. Are you still a young guy? I mean, you got plans just to retire, or you plan to do something else? Or?
Yeah, just going to spend more time with my family, go fishing, ride my side-by-side, garden. Just I got a brand-new house up Chalk Creek that we just thoroughly enjoy. I'm just going to work around here, garden, and just take life easy for a while.
Sounds pretty good. And then your official day was, last day was at the end of May, or are you?
My official last day is the 15th of July, or June, but I'm on 2 weeks vacation. I had to use it. So physically I'm done with the county, but on the books I'm done June 15th.
Okay. So. And I'm guessing if they needed you, they'd call you in.
Nope, I'm officially done.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm done.
Anything else you'd like to say about your career with Summit County?
I just love the people that I worked with, the co-workers. My bosses was great at both places, facilities and public works. It's been a good ride.
All right. Well, congratulations. Yeah, quite the tenure.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your service, Ben. Ben Blomquist, again, a Summit County native and retired from Summit County as the longest working employee the county has ever had. In some other news, Utah has filed a lawsuit accusing manufacturers of the opioid OxyContin of creating an epidemic of drug abuse in the state and misrepresenting the risks posed by prescription painkillers. In the court filing, the state of Utah claimed Purdue Pharma waged an aggressive marketing campaign for its drugs that relied on deception, exaggeration, and flawed science. It claimed that Purdue's actions amounted to fraud, negligence, nuisance, and a violation of state consumer sales law. According to Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes, who wrote in the filing, Utah law prohibits suppliers from using misleading or deceptive practices to market their products. Nonetheless, Purdue, he said, disseminated misstatements through multiple channels, representing opioids as useful in treating chronic pain long term and having low addiction risk. Purdue spokesman Bob Josephson said in a statement that the company vigorously denies the allegations. The lawsuit comes after Utah officials say they had hit a roadblock in settlement negotiations with the company and several other states. Josephson said that Purdue was disappointed that Utah was resorting to a lawsuit after months of good faith negotiations working toward a meaningful resolution to help the state of Utah address the opioid crisis. The state is asking Purdue to change its practices and to pay an unspecified amount for increased costs that it says the state incurred due to the opioid crisis. The lawsuit was filed in rural Carbon County, Carbon County, which has the state's highest rate of opioid prescriptions in 2016. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Attorney General Reyes had been pressured by state lawmakers to bring litigation over the opioid crisis they say has hit close to home. In 2016, there were 466 opioid-related deaths in Utah, according to the National Institute on Drug Abuse. The AG's office had previously insisted that a lawsuit would be time-consuming and expensive, but it seemed more open to the strategy in recent weeks. Several other lawsuits against Purdue Pharma are pending around the country.